Now playing select theaters.
And you are listening to WMNF Tampa, Sarasota, Clearwater, Community Conscious Radio. Hi, I'm Mary Glennie.
And I'm, excuse me, I'm Arlene Engelhardt. And you are listening to From a Woman's Point of View. Well, we have several people in the studio this morning, and it's an exciting time. So what a day it is. It's what a time this is that we're living in.
It really is, and I'm really excited because with us in the studio, we have Moms Demand Action. We've got Wendy Malloy and Christy Bell Gerkel. Oops, sorry, let me put you on mic here. Then we look just a little later, we already have Brooke Shapiro with us, but we're going to bring Brooke and Macy Lavender in just a little bit later, and we're going to be following up on the March for Your Lives. But before we get into that, I'm hoping you were listening to Amy Goodman. I really think you should just listen to WMNF all day. I'm biased, of course, but when they were talking about the dangers of cell phones, and if you remember when we were fighting so hard, I guess this was 4 or 5 years ago, to stop smart meters from coming into this area. And I think this is just such an extraordinary health problem. It's not only cell phones, but it's our exposure to EMF radiation all the way around. And we've known the dangers of it, frankly, ever since radar came on the scene. And when she was saying and how much more alert they are to the problems in France and Germany and areas like this, and this is another area where I really feel we have to protect our kids. Because children's nervous systems are particularly sensitive to this. And, you know, in France, they have taken wireless out of all the schools. They have taken it out of all the public institutions, the libraries, et cetera. And this, if you want me to, we will go back and we will review. Because Amy today was talking more about the politics and comparing it to the tobacco industry, and she's absolutely right. Oh, we're really having a snow job. But I think if you want to review the biological effects, they're really, I think, very, very sobering. And we have become a nation of wireless. I mean, we are being exposed to EMF fields in every imaginable way. And I'm particularly, just as I'm concerned about the safety of young people in the sense of from guns and violence, I don't want a subtle violence. And so, but that'll be for a future show. But let me know if you want me to pursue it, because with so many things happening, it's kind of almost a triage list. But I am so happy because we've got some real battlers here for not just children's safety, but all of our safety. And I was so excited, really, that, 15,000? And I'm going to start with the Moms Demand Action. And now tell me, either Wendy or Christy, I don't care how you want to divide it, didn't Moms Demand Action kind of morph into every town for gun safety after the horrible, you know, shooting at Sandy Hook? Well, isn't that how that kind of evolved?
Yeah, so Moms Demand Action was started by a mother of five, Shannon Watts, the day after the Sandy Hook tragedy. She, like so many Americans, I think, felt that she needed to do something, and like that was the tipping point. And so she started a Facebook group from her computer at her kitchen table, and immediately started having, you know, a lot of support for this idea that we need to do something. And after she started that Facebook group, I think it was about a year later or so, we merged Moms Demand Action with Mayors Against Illegal Guns. And so those are the two organizations under the umbrella of Every Town for Gun Safety.
Yeah, because, you know, we've had this thread going. And honestly, because that actually followed Columbine and the Aurora. Mm-hmm. I really thought after Sandy Hook that people were going to really realize that that we had to do something. But unfortunately, that didn't happen.
Well, people did, but the Republicans
but
in Congress
but
did
I
it.
In terms of
right,
and that's the problem we have.
Right,
how to get this moving forward? And so I noticed your 5-point program, and I think it's really important. But before we get into that, tell me your reaction, because over 15,000 people showed up, you know, here in the Tampa Bay area, and we were there, of course. And so, what were you talking about, and were you excited? And tell me from that, because now Facebook, and you know, it's a different kind of organization, if you will. Did you meet new people there, and have you found that's kind of part of your extended activity, so to speak?
Yeah, absolutely. It was an amazing, exhilarating day to be there. And we credit the girls, the students, Brooke and Macy, and all the student activists who've gotten involved since Parkland. But that day, it was a revelation, really, to be in that crowd with 15,000 people. Initially for the rally, there was just such a great spirit and energy in the air. Extremely positive. Mm-hmm. We met people from there's a new chapter of the Brady campaign started in Tampa. We were side by side with those folks at the event. We met hundreds of new people who were interested in joining our movement against gun violence and making sure that we keep guns out of the wrong hands. So yes, the day was amazing, and doing the march with all the people, with the students. The thing that was particularly wonderful, in my view, again, was all the students, all the young people who are getting involved, who are really motivated now. They're literally fighting for their lives. And on one hand, that's tragic that we have failed them to a degree in not taking care of this long, long ago. But on the other hand, how wonderful that they are getting involved in the political process, really making their voices heard finally now. It's their time.
I think we all felt that way after Sandy Hook, like you were mm-hmm. saying, like this is going to be it. But those kids were so little and they couldn't stand up for themselves. But these kids can, and they are. And I think, you know, we couldn't be prouder. I mean, standing there as people who have been working on this issue every day and seeing all of these people come together and say enough. I mean, it was really amazing.
Well, I don't know if you had any chance to watch any of the footage from the March in Washington. You know, it was on C-SPAN and other places.
Yes, for
sure. You could catch it afterwards. And I thought one of the most powerful moments, actually, when the students from Newton came and they actually unrolled a banner for the students at Parkland. And in a way, and I heard some students from Parkland say that, in a way, we're the kind of grown-up version of mm-hmm. Sandy Hook, if you
right.
will. And, you know, just historically, it's always the young that actually kind of lead out on the streets, you know, whether it was way back with women getting their rights and workers going out. Most of those young people went out in the garment factories were teenagers.
Yep, and desegregation. So many,
yeah, yep. Same thing. Selma, a lot of it yep. was kids in schools. And so actually, that is historically the case, that they're mm-hmm. the ones. And so a moment has finally arrived. And so tell me, what do you think is the most important thing, really, we need to do right now?
Vote.
Yep.
Mobilize all of these new volunteers and people who are activated and get them to the polls.
Yes. And I think that, you know, these kids, these high schoolers, they're if they can't vote in this upcoming election, they're going to be able to vote in the next one. I think, and, you know, I think that they know that it's really important. But we, every town has come out with a campaign, I think you kind of mentioned this, called Throw Them Out. And really, that is our goal. If we have lawmakers who are not working for us, who are putting profits over people, you know, those NRA dollars, that we need to throw them out of office. So every town makes it super easy. They have, it's a five-step kind of plan to do this. And the first thing is just to commit to vote for gun safety. So you can go on to everytown.org/throw-them-out and commit to vote for gun safety candidates. You can also follow the NRA money, so you can find out how much money your leaders have taken from the NRA, and you need to call them out on that. We also are helping people register to vote, because we know that is so important, as Wendy said. And we actually, every town just released this on the day of the march, and we were really excited. If you text the word fight, F-I-G-H-T, to 64433, it makes it super easy to register to vote. It'll send you a link, and you just click on it, and you can tell all of your friends to do that. You can share that prompt. So again, texting the word fight to 64433. And we are also getting candidates on record. So Moms Demand Action and Every Town has kind of not an endorsement, but
distinction.
A distinction for candidates who are gun safety candidates. So when you're looking at different candidates and trying to make your decisions, try to look for that distinction that we have out there.
And so you're kind of taking a chapter, you might say, from the NRA. You're literally focusing on the politicians, you know, because that's what they have done. They've really focused and kept their feet on the fire, so to speak, and they watch every single detail, every single comma, actually, in the laws that are being written.
Yes.
And so, but also, you know, that I think one of the best things about your website, and I've spent quite a bit of time, and you have a section there where literally you can go through every state.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's a fantastic resource, yeah.
It really is. But I think that people really need to be aware of the extent of gun violence daily, almost by the hour.
Absolutely.
And you know, compared to other countries, we are just, we're off the scale in every way.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that that's something that the Parkland kids, I mean, I'm so proud of them for that, like bringing this, you know, they experienced something horrific, but they have acknowledged that there are communities that don't look like theirs, you know, that are impacted by gun violence every day. And we know that there are 96 deaths per day in the United States due to gun violence. And like you're saying, when you look at other developed nations, this is a uniquely American problem.
And isn't it 7 children also?
Right, that's correct.
I mean, this is also something, and you just mentioned, I think, the most important point, because, you know, that's why I started with your kind of historical background of Moms Demand Action, because, you know, we watch these, but also another thread, almost at the same time, with Black Lives Matter, and, you know, so many of the mothers, quotes, the violence, literally, in our cities, city streets, and the incidents of young African-American men being killed.
Right.
And it was almost like these two separate, you know, parallel tracks, which needed to come together.
It is really a shame, I think, that, you know, I mean, I'm glad that the Parkland kids have made such a difference, of course, but it is really a shame that the Black Lives Matter movement didn't receive that same kind of positive attention that the Parkland movement has received. And you're right, we know that Black men are 14 times more likely than white men to be shot and killed with guns. And for a lot of us, that is, you know, that's a very important issue, this disparity. For me as a mother, the day after my oldest son was born, I was sitting in my hospital bed holding him, my newborn, and he was born in Boston, but we're from Florida. So my husband was reading the news, and he read to me the verdict in the Trayvon Martin case. And I mean, it was devastating to me as a new mother that, you know, you know, I thought, This is privilege, you know. I don't have to worry about my son in the same way, and that's not freedom. That's not justice, you know.
And that's why I think it's so important that you tell those stories, because Trayvon Martin, and you know, it's, you know, Florida in so many ways is kind of ground central. Mm-hmm. I mean, really, the importance of the NRA here and, you know, the lobbying effects, the laws that are written here. We're not just this little island, almost incidental. It's really important, and I think it really is important that we come to terms with that. And we looked at the violence, whether it was Trayvon Martin or Ferguson, or just keep going right down the line. And then, it was really fascinating. I had a woman last week, actually, on the show, Dr. Roxanne Dunbar-Ortiz, and she's a professor at UCal, actually, I think, Hayward. And she's written, a pretty extraordinary book, Loaded, The Story of the Second Amendment. And she has Native American heritage. And I thought it was fascinating how she went through it. But she really, she started really, I thought it was interesting talking really about particularly the gun violence that really came to our attention with Whitman on the University of Texas Tower, which is kind of almost forgotten in a way, you know, even though that was really the kind of first really, really shocking on the scene. And she pointed out there were so many factors about Whitman. Number one, he was a Marine, ex-Marine. And no, he wasn't injured in combat, but he suffered a traumatic brain injury, actually from a Jeep accident that happened, you know, in training, et cetera. And how he couldn't get help. And he had these terrible headaches, and he was starting to hallucinate, et cetera. And he tried to get all this help, and he couldn't get help. And so it was really tragic when she was going through that actually he killed his mother and his wife before he did this because he didn't want to embarrass them.
Oh, gosh.
And then, you know, he killed 17 from the tower. Yeah. And she said, what was the reaction to that? You know, was it an improvement in mental health? Was it an effort to get facilities for this person? And she said, no, actually, Austin started the first SWAT squad, which then became throughout the country. And then 50 years, practically to the day of that terrible tragedy in the University of Texas campus, they passed the open carry, gun on campus in Texas. And so she was pointing out that you know, Americans' association with guns is so deep, and it's so entwined. And that's why I think it's so important that we really bring this out, because historically, you know, from a distance, if you were in a foreign country, I think you would say, well, if I had one symbol for this country, it'd be a gun.
Right.
And I think that's something we need to think, is that true? And I think that's why moms and the students we have here with us too, Brooke Shapiro and Macy Lavender, you're all getting it. And I think the nation has to get it. I mean, really, we have to get it. We have to understand
I think
this.
That they do. Wouldn't you agree, Wendy? I mean, I think...
Oh, I think overwhelmingly people support criminal background checks for every gun purchase. I think overwhelmingly people do not believe in arming school personnel. Certainly school boards in our area, the Hillsborough County, Pasco County, and Pinellas... I believe Pasco, but I can check on that. But I know Hillsborough and Pinellas have definitely voted against this Guardian program, which would allow more guns into schools, not just with school resource officers. But the international point that you brought up, other countries, you know, suffer from road rage. People get mad when they're driving in other countries. Other countries have people who suffer from mental illness. Other countries, you know, have kids that are bullied, and people have bad breakups that turn ugly. The common denominator here is the gun.
Access to guns.
There's nothing really special about the U.S. and those points that I just listed, except that we can go out right now and get a gun.
Yeah, I imagine any one of us adults in this room could go out and buy an Air 15, and that bothers me.
Well, I think we're on the right track with the legislation that was just approved in the final waning days of the Florida legislative session. There's the one provision in that law that was just passed. We oppose wholeheartedly, and we are going district by district to speak to the school board members and all the stakeholders involved to try to get that provision, arming school personnel, killed in each county.
And so I'm curious, here in Florida, you're really fighting at the legislative level, et cetera. And also, I imagine at the county, the city, you know, because this has to be done at every level. And tell me, what odds are you coming up against in terms of the lobbyists? I mean, give me a sense of your odds, because I happen to really agree with you that the majority of people get this and they want this to change. But what is the problem? Do they not get engaged politically? Or when it comes actually to the vote in these legislatures, that's when you see the disparity.
Well, I think that Wendy can vouch for this. Having been doing this for a little while now, I think after every tragic event like this, like after Vegas, you know, we have kind of a surge in membership. People want to get involved. We hear from a lot of new people. But I think that this time with Parkland, it felt different. And I think that the difference was these young people getting involved. You know, and so I think the key is staying engaged. And, you know, we have a plan to do that, keeping people engaged with this Throw Them Out campaign, really preparing for the elections. But we have over 4.5 million supporters nationwide. We, in Florida alone, we doubled our number of local groups for Moms Demand Action. So we had 12 local groups across the state prior to Parkland, and now we have double that, which is really exciting. So, you know, I really think we are the counterweight to the NRA, and I think that we have grown so much since Parkland, and I'm hopeful. I mean, I feel optimistic. So
I do too.
Yeah.
And so for the people listening out there, they obviously need to get a little more engaged than they've been. I mean, it's great to come up to the marches and you really see it and you get energized, et cetera.
But we need more.
So what can people do?
Yeah, absolutely. So as I mentioned before, they can visit everytown.org/throw them out to find out about our campaign to get rid of these politicians who are not doing their jobs and not representing us. If they would like to join Moms Demand Action, they can text the word ready to 64433. And as I mentioned, they could also text fight to 64433 to register to vote and help people register to vote. Wendy has some information about our upcoming events. Yes. We have a lot of things going on.
Yes, there's a lot coming up. This weekend, and I'm sure, I think Macy and Brooke are going to speak about this, the town hall. There are two town halls happening locally, one in Hudson and one in Tampa. Then on April 19th, we're participating in a roundtable discussion with Sean Shaw, Representative Sean Shaw, who's also running for Florida Attorney General. And he's going to focus on gun violence and gun violence prevention. That event will be held at the West Tampa Library. We're getting more information about that. We can certainly keep you posted. That's April 19th. On May 19th, Safe and Sound Hillsborough, which is a wonderful coalition of local agencies and community groups that work daily on a day-to-day basis to help fight violence, including gun violence in our communities Hillsborough County, all around the county. That's May 19th. They're holding a safe summit at Hillsborough High School. That's a day-long event with...
A day-long?
Yep, 9 to 4.
It's going to be fantastic.
Yeah. Freddie Barton is the director of that organization. He does just a phenomenal job. He's a wonderful ally and is doing great work all around the county. That's May 19th. Then on June 2nd, we are having our Wear Orange event. June 2nd is Gun Violence Awareness Day around the country. You may have noticed that in the past few years, skylines of certain cities turning orange. Mm-hmm. Orange is the color of gun violence prevention for obvious reasons. It's the color of safety for hunters in the woods, traffic cones, orange is, right. Orange means safety. So last year we were lucky enough to convince the city powers that be to turn the fountain at Curtis Hickson Park orange. We had a rally and a vigil at the park that night, June 2nd. It was a beautiful, beautiful sight to behold. We're hoping to get some more buildings involved this year in the Tampa skyline. And then this year on June 2nd, we're having an event at the Portico, downtown Tampa, 1001 North Florida, a community event. We haven't finalized the agenda yet, but we'll definitely keep you posted on that. That's June 2nd.
You know, one of the things I find doing a show, that you pick up energy levels kind of, from people, et cetera. And I think that, I think a lot of people, we're all pressed for time and we have so many commitments, et cetera. But I think that if the listeners could see, the four people we have in the studio as guests, you would pick up a definite energy. And yes, they put a lot of time and energy into it. But I can tell that they really get a lot out of it. In other words, it's not just wasted energy, down the tube and, I'm doing this, for this, but you're doing it because it's right and because it's good and because I think it's kind of exciting, particularly being a democracy, that, because I really was profoundly affected by Roxanne Dunbar-Ortiz's book, because she really put the Second Amendment and the whole historical approach very differently than I had totally looked at it. And I think we're really at a moment in time, and I think particularly the students, just like the young people, have always come through at really pivotal times. And it makes sense because I think, in an odd way, they're closer to the energy of the zeitgeist, if you will. Yeah, I'm serious. And they're old enough, they're smart enough, that they do have their own agency of action. And I think it's just fabulous because the history of this country and the way the gun was so important in acquiring the land and unfortunately in Indian and slave patrols, and really it was so important in the whole definition of this country, and a lot of people come out of that sense of country. And I think we have evolved into a different country. And I think it's really critical now that we say, okay, that was then. Whether it was right or wrong, we can discuss it if you want, but this is now. And we don't want people going into schools or movie theaters or malls with AR-15s. Or we don't want the number of suicides in this country. And I was really shocked when I was, because I spent a lot of time at your website, and I verified with other sources, because I was so shocked when I realized that the average person only spends about 10 minutes actually contemplating suicide. And if they have a gun, they're 90% successful. If they don't, they're 90% unsuccessful. And I thought, oh my goodness. I thought, we have really got to say, whether the gun was that necessary for our historical evolution or not, we've got to think it now in totally different terms.
Yes, and actually one of our student activists who is at the forefront of beginning Students Demand Action, she lost her father to gun suicide at a very young age, and she... that is why she's so involved, but she's really wonderful, and she's done a lot since Parkland. But absolutely, we know it's 66%, I think 2/3 of gun deaths per day are gun suicides. It's really tragic.
It's sobering. It really is. But okay,
and we just had a call that the city of Deerfield in Illinois passed a total ban on assault weapons.
Yep. Oh, good for Deerfield, Illinois.
Fantastic.
Yeah, I saw that last night. That's terrific.
Yeah,
and so I'm gonna let Christy, the Moms Demand Action, the fabulous group, Christy Bell, Gerkey.
Yeah,
why do I keep paying?
It's a tough one.
No,
it's
I keep making K and L, Gerkey. I don't want to deny your little boys out in the lobby. Imagine Miss Julie's doing it. And Wendy Malloy, thank you so much for giving us this time.
Thank you for having us.
And so I'm going to have, actually, Brooke Shapiro and Macy Lavender take your place.
Great, thank you.
A little music on here. And again, thanks so much. This is so important, and I'm really excited.
Thank you.
I'll put this music on, and then we'll have a switcheroo. And you are listening to WMNF Tampa, Sarasota, Clearwater, Community Conscious Radio. Down. Arlene is done with her pitcher session, and I'm really thrilled because I'm so excited to have these two young women back in the studio, Brooke Shapiro and Macy Lavender, the Plan High School students who planned the recent March for Our Lives, and they're back here giving us an update. So, Brooke Shapiro, Macy Lavender, welcome back to the show.
Thank you for having us again.
Okay, Arlene, could you just quickly flip on, just flip on your little buttons there.
There we go.
Okay,
so you could hear us.
Okay, well, I'm telling you, that was outstanding, 15,000 people. And you know, and Brooke, congratulations. We're so excited for you and your acceptance at school, the college you wanted. Macy, I know that your ambitions and plans, I'm so excited for you, too. It's because both of you, you know, it's not only what you're doing right now, but I can see what you're going to do in the future, etc. I think it's really so exciting. And I know, at least I remember my senior year in high school, you know, college, but also proms, you know, all this kind of stuff. It's all happening in the yearbook, all of this. And here you are involved in, you know, in kind of life and death issues. And tell me, how are you standing up to all of this demand on your time and your life, so to speak?
I'd say it's interesting to balance it all, because this certainly is not your typical senior year, and all of this is going on simultaneously. I mean, while we were planning the march, we were also figuring out our prom bus and our senior pictures and all these things like that. So it's been interesting to try to balance it all, having a normal high school life and taking on such a big issue. So it's been fun, and I'd say this is definitely up our alleys for Macy and I. We've always been very politically active and outspoken, so this makes sense for us for our senior year. This is what we wanted to spend our time doing, for sure.
Yeah, it's interesting to kind of see the offers we're getting now that we've been involved with the march and that our names are known. So we're involved with more things past the march, which of course is amazing, because we want to stay active and keep our involvement going past what we did a couple Saturdays ago.
Do you find you have to be discriminating, that you don't want people that are just taking advantage of the fact that you're one of the kids? And I don't mean that at all derogatorily, because I think that the thing that's so fascinating, like, you've both been involved in politics one way or another for a long time, whether it's school politics or your organizations, etc. And I think there's a point where it becomes real to a person. You know, in other words, you actually start to see some things happen. And it helps, of course, if you get some victories. But even if you don't, you know, you get a lot of people more involved, et cetera. And I think the realization of that real process, you know, I don't think a lot of people actually, even though it might sound strange, I don't think they actually make that step to making that they actually can have a real part in this process.
Right. I guess, what do I want to say? It's right. It's been interesting, because I do feel like we have made some progress since the march. We've seen some real changes, and we actually met with Senator Nelson and Representative Kathy Castor, and both of them sat down and listened to us. So it feels good to be heard. It feels like we are being heard. We are talking about this, but still there is a long way to go, and there are still tragedies happening every single day. I mean, just at the YouTube headquarters,
right.
And today there was an unarmed black man shot and killed in New York. So this is still happening. This is still real. We haven't made the victories that we would like to make, but I mean, we're taking steps, and this conversation hasn't died down at all since the march, which I think is the best news out of everything. You know, it's not just that we took this one step and we're like, all right, we're done. Thank you. Good job, everybody. Everybody go home and stop talking about it. We're still talking about it. So I love that this is still going on, and that we're still having these discussions.
Well, and, you know, I think it's so great, because, I think that so many of us, you know, like, we take the AR-15. And the reason I think we're all focusing on that is because that's been the gun of choice. And the difference, actually, in YouTube, she didn't have any.
Right, she had a handgun, actually, which completely changes the conversation. And it was a woman, too, which...
Yeah, which also changes the conversation.
Right.
But still, and I think for most normal people, they find it kind of incomprehensible that this violent of a weapon that's so easy to use... it's so readily available. I mean, it just kind of defies common sense. And yet here, and I think that's one of the biggest issues that so many of you young students have been demanding. You know, we've got to get these out. We've got to get these out of people's hands. They can't be so readily available. And I think the illogic almost, you know, when you come upon the political process, and I think the easiest thing to do is say, oh, well, the gun lobby, the NRA are so strong. You know, we don't know how to fight them. But, you know, in a sense, it's deeper than that. And you both, like Brooke, you're actually going to be going to Yale. And I think it's fascinating. Are you still wanting to pursue women's studies? Is that right?
Absolutely, yep.
And I'm curious, why do you want to pursue women's studies?
I actually did a research project last year where I looked at female protagonists, how they're portrayed by their female screenwriters. So once I did that research, I was totally compelled to go into women's studies because that was like a women's studies type project and wanted to do more research in college and then after I graduated. So there's just, I think women's studies is so interesting because it combines a lot of different subjects like psychology, history, sociology. It takes the current state of women and also the state of women in the past and analyzes that and looks at solutions. So I'm someone who takes a step forward and says, okay, how can we change this? That's just the type of person I am. So, and I'm very passionate about feminism. So I definitely wanted to go into women's studies to, you know, further come up with more solutions to change this issue.
It's so interesting that you would mention a movie. I imagine you were familiar with Gina Davis. Her work, she has so much to do with it. And there's a fabulous film festival. In fact, in a show next week, where we're going to pretty much just be covering these films. It's Through Women's Eyes, and it's part of the Sarasota Film Festival. And one of the directors I tried to get for today, but she'll be on next week, her name is Amy Adrian. And she's done the documentary Half the Picture, in which she talks to female directors who actually have been very successful. You would think, you know, in other words, Ava DuVernay, you know, and the woman who directed the Twilight series, et cetera, you would assume that, you know, these were such blockbusters hits that they would commercially would have it made, have all kinds of offers. Not the case, being they're women. And you'll really want to see the film. And Amy is outstanding. And I think one of the most powerful parts of it, because they really go through and they discuss, you know, the obstacles that women directors have, et cetera, and you know, the effect of the Me Too movement. But one of the most interesting sections, I thought, was actually when they were talking to this, I can't think of her name right now, I think her name was Charles, and she's a filmmaker, and so is her husband. And they just had a baby. And she has found it really impacted her offers, you know, not just the fact what she wants to do. And I thought it was, because these are very bright women and they're very articulate. And I thought it was so fascinating that she was saying, and some others were agreeing, that, you know, essentially movies very much shape culture. And to have these essentially be white men, that yes, as documentaries and independent films, women and minorities are given more opportunities. But, and they're pointing out that, you know, this is a very one-sided or very narrow view of American society. And she was pointing out that, you know, her husband has ideas, she has ideas. And she said that, you know, that actually the married woman, the woman that has children, these stories aren't part of our culture at all. And so we're missing perhaps the most important part of the story.
Exactly. It's interesting. Everything you said is what I pointed out in my research. There is a huge gap between men and women in the off-screen sector of the film industry, not just screenwriters, which is what I looked at, but directors, producers, all of that. And it morphs the way that Americans and worldwide, how we view women, because, you know, I actually looked at this theory by Bandura and Bussy. I can't think of what it's called now, but, you know, children learn perceive the world from what they see in media and on screen. They form their ideas about gender they form their ideas from media. So when men are dominating the film industry and kids are watching these movies, it completely changes the way they see the world, and it's a morphed view of women. And there's only been 4 films in all of Oscar history that have received the best original screenplay and been solo authored by a woman. So those are the films I looked at because I was like, there has to be something to learn from these 4 movies. So when I watched them, I saw how these women were able to more accurately portray the female experience. So we need more women in the film industry so that people watching movies can get an accurate understanding of what being a woman is like being a mother and going through these things in life. Because right now, the way women are depicted typically are, you know, as housewives, as objects. These are all things that we see in films that are written by most men. So that is certainly a problem.
Yeah, I was going to mention, in Lady Bird, recently it's a teenage girl story, and obviously Greta Gerwig directed and I think wrote the screenplay for it. And to see the difference between watching Lady Bird, which is obviously an Oscar acclaimed film, and watching a teen movie that kind of is supposed to depict kind of a coming of age story of a teenage girl, but maybe it's not Oscar acclaimed, it's just like a Disney Channel movie or like something like that. There's such a huge gap in the way that they're portraying the girl. And I think the reason that Lady Bird was such a, for me particularly, like watching it was like particularly moving because I'm a senior in high school and I can relate to her. And I think for any woman, when you watch the movie, you can so deeply relate to not only the depiction of the girl who I related to most, obviously, because I'm younger, but also the mother. They're just such nuanced characters. And I think the fact that Greta Gerwig wrote them is obviously indicative of the fact that we haven't seen this before. Like, they usually aren't like this. Like, when I watch a movie and I see a mother and daughter interacting, it doesn't feel accurate in the way that Lady Bird feels like, wow, that could be me and my mom. Like, this is relatable. And I think in the media, that's so important to have just honest depictions of the way life is across the board, of course, with women, but also with minorities and just different cultures and the way they interact. And what you said earlier about this being just hugely underrepresented is extremely true, because when I go to watch media and I can't find anyone that looks like me, acts like me, then I'm less likely to basically interact with it or relate.
Right. One of my final conclusions actually was that women need to be inspired and empowered by what they see on screen, not discouraged by it. Mm-hmm. So that it seems like, you know, what Macy said, there's no one that we can relate to in these movies because what we're feeling and what we want, none of that is depicted on screen. It's telling us what we have to be when we watch movies, and that's exactly discouraging.
Lady Bird particularly was so cool because the girl in it was allowed to be, she was allowed to be kind of a bad like daughter. Like, she did like some bad stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, she was kind of mean to her mom and she could fight with her. But then also she has just this heartwarming like presence about her. Like, you relate to her because she is a fully developed person. Like, she has her bad moments, but also she learns and grows past the selfishness of being like a kid, and you can see her journey. And then same with her mom. Like, the mom is allowed to be, when interacting with her daughter Lady Bird, she's allowed to be kind of like rude to her sometimes, and you can see like the impact that has on the daughter. But also you love the mom because she is like a real honest depiction. And I think seeing that in media is so important, like telling young girls, like, you don't have to be this perfect, like picture perfect caricature of what a teenage girl should be. You don't have to be like Amanda Bynes from like What a Girl Wants, where it's like you go to Paris and you go to England and find out your dad's like a prince, which is other like teen girl stories. Like, that's like I don't know, the fact that they could do it was a movie that was so popular and widely spread, I think has to do with how relatable the story is
and real
and how meaningful it is for like girls like me, or just even women in general that like want to go see the movie. You watch it and you just feel better about yourself, and you feel like that's, it makes you feel better, which I think we've been missing for a long time.
You know, you have to go down to the series because a lot of the directors are going to be there. Amy for sure is going to be there. And they, you know, they'll talk to you, et cetera. And it's by women directors. It's about women, but it's not just for women. And and the whole theme of the one this year is you can do anything. And I was thinking actually the same movie, Half the Picture, and it's just fabulous. I mean, it really is. I really was impressed by it. And the woman who was the original director, writer, screenplay of Blaze, the Pixar, and she was actually the first woman that was part of Disney's Pixar. And so it was a big deal. She didn't know it was such a big deal, you know, but it was, and she realized she was the only woman. Well, then she worked hard and all these things, et cetera, and she finally had the opportunity for Blaze, and she loved this thing. And she realized that she kind of related it to her 13-year-old daughter. And then so they were working and going on the picture, et cetera, and, you know, it's mega bucks and all this jazz. And all out of nowhere, they said, no, we don't like what you're doing. And so they took her off. She was, quote, an advisor. And so then it won the Academy Award. And so Disney had said, no, you can't say anything. You can go up on the stage because it's just your art and all your work. And so she did, and she actually broke all the rules when she said, I want to dedicate this to my 13-year-old daughter. But here, you know, this is a story about this young woman warrior. It's a fabulous, I don't know if you saw it, but it really is very interesting, you know, how she comes to terms with, you know, falling in love, but also being this necessary warrior at the same time. And it's fascinating, and what they didn't like, and I, you know, she has not said how they changed it, but it's kind of amazing. And so, but also coming back then to your involvement, so to speak, in gun control. And in a way, we haven't associated, like, it's not usual to have a woman actually do a mass shooting. But also, women's opinions, women's input, a woman's lens on what's happening is different. And it hasn't been heard. You know, I mean, it's not accidental. We have so few senators, you know, and we only got like 20 in the Congress, et cetera. Women have not been represented. And so I think that's why I'm so encouraged by your strength, your intelligence, your courage, because it's not easy to go forth. But I think a new page is being turned. And I think women will bring a different perspective to the violence, you know, not only in the schools, but, and Macy, I was so impressed. I can't remember what politician or whoever engaged you and said, oh, well, you know, you're all so angry. And you said, I'm not just afraid to go to school. I'm afraid to go to the mall.
That was one of the school board members said something about mental health. And I was saying that this is a gun problem, this has been a gun problem, and it won't stop being a gun problem until we address the root of it, which is guns. Like, the guns are the ones killing people. Like, people aren't getting stabbed, they're getting shot. So I think that's just, anyone with common sense could agree with that. So,
but they don't know. That's part of the problem.
I don't know. I think it's, like, important for Brooke and I to just kind of, like, what I was saying sort of about the movies, like, we want to be portrayed as, like, our full selves. Do you get what I'm saying? Like, Emma Gonzalez, what's unique about her is that they portray her as, like, a full, like, fully fledged student. She's not, like, just a spokesperson or a mouthpiece of this movement. Like, she has her own opinions and her own beliefs, and they've kind of been presenting her. She is the face of the movement, but also you can look deeper and find more nuanced things about her, like that she was the president of the GSA at her school, things like that, like, that make her more relatable. So she's not just, like, a figurehead. And I think, like, when Brooke and I are, like, speaking at these events, like, I don't want to be, like, taken as sort of the, for the analogy, but the Fox News blonde lady that, like, comes, they trot her out and they have her, like, sit with the four men on the news, and she's kind of, like, agreeing, and she's like, yes, yes, and they pan to her for, like, 1 second, and then the conversation continues with, like, the same three men that were talking before. Like, I just, like, want to make it clear to, like, girls that, like, you can be involved in politics, and, like, you don't have to be, like, this girl in, like, a short red dress on Fox News. Like, that's not who you have to be. Like, you can be an activist and, like, have, like, you cannot be stereotypically feminine. Like, Emma Gonzalez has a shaved head. Like, you can be a student. Like, you can be young and do this. Like, you don't have to be, like, this, like, picture perfect cutout, like, to be involved in politics, which I think, like, growing up, my dad always watched Fox News, and, like, seeing, like, the women on that was just, like, extremely demeaning, like, the way that they treat them as far as conversations. So I think, like, opening the conversation and showing other girls that, like, you can, like, we can all do it together. Like, we, like, if you, like, look at Emma Gonzalez and stuff, she's such an inspiration to, like, young kids. Like, if I was a kid, like, looking at her, I'm sure, like, I would want to shave my head too. I'd be, like, begging my mom. So, I don't know. That's the way I kind of see it.
I agree with Macy. I think what's interesting about this movement is that it's all happening on Twitter, and us kids are so, we're great at social media, and that's what we like to do. And Twitter is our platform for expressing our opinions and being very open and saying whatever we're feeling. So to see the Parkland survivors, especially Emma and Cameron and David, post on their Twitters and post their own opinions, it's very real. They're, like Macy said, they're not just faces. They all have different opinions and different backgrounds and experiences. And they're speaking their minds, not because anyone else is telling them to. This is what they're thinking. It's honest, and it's genuine, and it's very natural. And I think that's what's great about this movement.
And I think that's what particularly older adults are picking up on. Because it's not only a breath of fresh air, but something is energized in you. You know, I mean, in other words, you think, oh, yeah, how did my fire go out? You know, I didn't even know it went out. And I think that's what's, and to me, it's a new time. And you were mentioning Emma Gonzalez, and I thought her BS speech just nailed it.
Amazing.
It is
amazing.
But I was fascinated that actually she didn't use Twitter that much. And just the camaraderie, the kind of way that everybody helps everybody else, that your colleagues quickly said, oh, well, you need to do this and that and that. And I thought, oh, well, I don't actually use Twitter either, so I'm kind of...
Me neither. You're not alone.
You got to learn, yeah. But I mean, it is that kind of openness. And like David Hogg, we're all following him being so hassled by Laura Ingraham, and now she's on vacation. And so, no, but honesty and truth has power. And so I'm just really... And so what in the immediate future with the situation of guns is on your calendars right now?
Well, this Saturday, we are actually working with the leaders of the St. Pete March for Our Lives, as well as other students who assisted with our march, to put together a town hall, which is happening on April 7th nationwide. So we are just one congressional district that's taking part in this town hall for our lives movement. It'll be at Metropolitan Community Church from 3 to 5 this Saturday, and we already have Representative Kathy Castor coming and other local officials who will be on a panel to answer our questions and give us legislative updates. So we hope to see as many people there as possible so that we can have this conversation with our legislators, because obviously they're the ones who have more immediate, who have the ability to make more immediate change than we do. We can communicate all we want and speak our minds, but nothing is going to happen until they listen to us. So it's great that they are going to be there on Saturday to listen to us and talk to us. So we're super excited for that, and we hope that a lot of positive changes will come out of that. But we will also be walking out on April 20th, which is the National School Walkout. We'll be walking out at around 10 a.m. and staying out there the entire day. And at our school, we're going to have a rally and have stations set up to write letters to our representatives and hopefully have some voter registration. So we hope that other schools around the country will do similar things like that, so that we're not just walking out, but we're actually doing something when we get out there.
Did you want to say something, Macy? I think that's critical. Go ahead, Arlene. Sorry.
And any thoughts either for the summer or for when you get to college? And I realize that it's going to be a lot different and you'll figure it out when you get there, but anything you'd hope to do?
I'm around all summer, so hopefully, you know, we'll keep taking steps forward on this. We actually had a leader from...
from a student
organization, I think, in St. Pete contact us, who wanted to do some sort of event in June regarding just promoting gun action. So
yeah,
we haven't really talked about that, but you know, this isn't stopping. We have a lot ahead of us that we are motivated to do. We also, Macy and I, as soon as the march ended, we were like, I think we should have after school sessions with students who are interested in learning more about the voting process and about the candidates running for office in the midterm elections, just to educate people, because we really feel like voting and who we could have represent us, we're not taught anything about that. We know absolutely nothing about it.
Exactly.
As students. So it would be interesting to educate students about how they can vote, even if they're not able to vote this time, but the next time around, and to just educate them about the kinds of people that are running for office and what they want, because we never hear about that. And if we want to know that information, we have to look for it ourselves. So it'd be interesting to give that information to students to motivate them a little bit more to be more active.
And that is something that people can do. Mm-hmm. They can vote for people who support their views on gun control,
exactly,
as well as on other issues.
Yeah, and they have to demand what their views are.
Exactly.
You hold their feet to the fire and say, what do you think about this? No, yeah. I mean this. I want to know. Yes, no.
That's what the town hall should be doing, is
absolutely.
Us asking us questions to our representatives and kind of seeing who's representing you. I think having a nationwide movement is super powerful, because in every community, like, it will give people an opportunity to, like, even just turn on the news and, like, you should be able to watch coverage of the town hall, which would just give you a little bit more information, a more personal side, that besides, like, just Googling them and finding out, like, what their voting record is, like, hearing them talk about it and see, like, how dedicated they are to the movement. But also, I'm going to college this summer, so I, like, won't be around.
Oh, you're leaving us. So which have you decided?
I'm going to FSU. So,
oh, okay. Yeah.
So I'll be up in Tallahassee at the Capitol, so that should be exciting.
And are you still aiming for Georgetown for law school?
Yeah, we'll see.
That's a long time
yeah,
away.
Yeah, it's a long time away. I'm majoring, I think, in international affairs, not like traditional poli sci. So we'll see if I like want to go into law school or if I want to go to like grad school for foreign affairs.
Sure, yeah.
But obviously that's 4 years away and like classes away. So I can see if I change my own mind about it. But
Well, I want what really excites me
is to see you continuing
and seeing this moving on and not falling apart because you all are going on to college.
And I have noticed that we have run out of time, and you have been listening to WMNF Tampa, Sarasota Clearwater Community Conscious Radio. And with us have been two outstanding students, Brooke Shapiro and Macy Lavender. And so get involved, people. Get involved. And let's put this music on. And
maybe it's the real crooks, maybe it's the drugs, maybe it's the parents,